Love is Love, written by M. Jules and read by Chestnut Fillet. Rating, T. Fandom, Fullmetal Alchemist manga. Summary. Maria's life doesn't always revolve around her sexual orientation. These are five times it did. One. Despite what she told her parents at the train station, Maria Ross was terrified. It wasn't so much that it would be her first time living away from home, or that she'd had to leave her favorite quilt, a gift from her grandmother, on the bed that she'd slept in since childhood, or even that her dog had looked at her with sad, liquid eyes and a slowly wagging tail when she told him goodbye and kissed him on the nose. It was a little bit, but not a lot, because she knew she was training for a war that was already ongoing, that was taking cadets out of the academy before they were fully trained, and shipping them off to the desert to replace the soldiers that were falling by the dozens daily, almost hourly. No, it was mostly because the task of fitting in with new people was always uncertain, and she had no idea who her roommate was. Would they like her? Would they make her life hell? She couldn't just confront bullies the way she would have at home, with firm words and firmer fists, especially if they outranked her. Her room was empty when she arrived, no sign of her roommate anywhere. There were two narrow beds stripped down to the mattress and metal frame, plain gray walls, and one tiny window too small to crawl through. I wonder if it's supposed to feel so much like a prison, she thought. A loud whump behind her startled her, and she jumped, whirling to look for the source, her hands already coming up in defense. Good reflexes, said the girl in the doorway with a broad grin. I like that. She kicked a heavy duffel bag across the floor to the bed Maria wasn't standing beside. The bag must have been what made the noise when she dropped it. Jeez, they told me I was going to have a dorm room, not a jail cell. The girl, her roommate, Maria guessed, dropped onto the bare mattress and flopped onto her back, staring up at the ceiling. Maria stood silently, unsure of whether to address her roommate or stay silent, when the girl turned her head and grinned at her. Rebecca Catalina, she said, sticking out a hand. Detonation specialist track. You? Maria Ross, and I'm not sure. Just regular soldier, I guess. She took Rebecca's hand and shook it once, firmly. Rebecca's grin widened. Well, Maria Ross, regular soldier, I think we're going to be great friends. Maria returned her smile, but when Rebecca winked, she felt a flutter in her belly and knew she had discounted the most dangerous possibility of all. What if she fell in love? 2. By the time their first month was up, Maria knew she was in trouble. She had a full-blown, bona fide crush on her roommate, but she'd watched, and Rebecca only showed signs of attraction to men. Well, men and well-made hand grenades. Maria tried to hide her infatuation, not wanting to make her roommate uncomfortable, but either she was a terrible liar, or Rebecca was just unusually perceptive. Rebecca, blunt as usual, flopped down on the foot of Maria's bed one night, nudged the book she was reading out of her hands, and said, I hope this doesn't sound rude or like I'm full of myself or anything, but you like me, don't you? Maria's face went tight and hot all the way up to the roots of her hair, and she found she wasn't able to say anything at all. In fact, she could hardly breathe. No worries. Rebecca held her hands up. If you don't, I mean, obviously I'm wrong, but if you do, it's fine. I just thought you should know that I can only be friends with women. I don't fall in love with them like I do men. That's fine, Maria finally choked out. No, I mean, I knew. It's not, I don't have any expectations. Rebecca's face went suddenly soft, and she leaned forward and hugged Maria from the side, arms sliding around her shoulders. I would if I could, you know. You're aces. It didn't do a thing for Maria's blush, but she smiled anyway, and patted Rebecca's hand where it clutched at her. Thanks. 3. You know you're going to have to tell him eventually. Lieutenant Colonel Hughes was, in the words of his best friend Colonel Mustang, a shit-eating bastard. Maria wouldn't have gone that far, but nosy meddler was beyond dispute. I know. And by eventually, I mean soon. Yes, sir. She sighed heavily and wasn't surprised to hear him chuckle. Well, you don't have to look like I just ordered you to shoot your grandma. Hughes leaned across his desk now, peering at her earnestly. Teasing gone and replaced by fatherly affection. It made her miss her own father. He'll be okay, Ross. He'll handle it. But not if you let him find out from someone else. Maria covered her face with her hands, hoping it would cover her blush. To have her commanding officer giving her advice on her personal life, even, or especially, unsolicited, was disconcerting and embarrassing. I'll tell him, sir. Tonight. I promise. She knew she'd been putting it off, but every time she thought about telling her partner that she was never going to be able to return his crush, she remembered the way her dog had looked when she'd left home to go to the academy, all drooping ears and trusting eyes, and the confused, hopeful wag of his tail. That look on Patch had nearly killed her. On Danny, it would do her in for sure. Good. Hughes leaned back in his chair and studied her, still with that fond protectiveness. And once that's done, I'll introduce you to this lady I know. Served with me and Mustang in the war. Hell of an officer. Intimidating as all hell, but I think you could handle her. All the blood that had rushed to her face now drained away suddenly, leaving her feeling pale and cold. No, I'm not... Thank you, but you're welcome. And dismissed. Now, go talk to Brosh before I sit you both down and have a disciplinary meeting. Oh, God. Four. She should have known she would be overheard. Should have known not to tell Danny in public, especially not in the officer's favorite tavern. But really, she hadn't thought anyone would be listening. And that was her first failure. Her second was not thinking that anyone would care. She was surprised more than frightened to find the doorway crowded by three hulking soldiers, their mouths twisted in nasty grins like the curve of a scimitar, their arms crossed over their barrel chests. Maybe, one of them said, you'd decide you like men if you had a real one. He sneered at Danny, who looked puppy hurt and then furious. Don't you dare talk to her like that! She stepped in front of Danny, blocking him neatly, and stared coolly at the men. The smell of sour barley and hops rolled off them in waves, and she fought to keep from wrinkling her nose. Excuse us. She started forward, but they pressed into each other, closing the gaps between their bodies. She drew herself up and was just about to give them a piece of her mind when an arm slung around her shoulder and wet lips kissed her cheek, surprising her. Maybe if fellas want to stop snuggling with each other and move out of the way. Maria saw Rebecca grin out of the corner of her eye, saw the light reflecting off the silver pin of the grenade she held in her other hand. And maybe you want to think twice about messing with my girl here. The rowdy tavern had gone so eerily silent that Maria imagined she could hear the sweat trickling down her spine. From behind her came a soft whistling sound that buzzed right by her ear, and she stared, wide-eyed, at the small knife lodged in the wooden doorframe right beside one of the thug's ears. Oops. Hugh's voice was cheerful, his face not so much, as he strode past her to retrieve his knife. My hand slipped. A wet patch started spreading on the pants front of the man whose ear had been closest to the knife, and another acrid scent joined that of the stale beer. They were looking uncertain now, but the one who'd spoken fumbled in his jacket for a cigarette, although his hands were shaking too much to light it. A brief scent of sulfur, a spark at the end of the cigarette, and Roy Mustang stepped into her line of view, Reza Hawkeye beside him, with her hand resting noticeably on her service pistol. The man paled visibly and took a step back. My apologies, he stammered, nudging his comrades out the door with him. You folks have a good evening now. They were gone almost as quickly as they'd appeared, and Maria looked around at her friends and their friends with a shaky smile. It was just like Hughes to follow her to make sure she didn't chicken out on telling Danny, and even more like him to bring his friends along. "I had it," Danny sulked from behind her, and Hughes clapped him on the shoulder. "You'll get it next time," Hughes assured him. They filed out of the tavern together, Rebecca's arm still slung around Maria's shoulder, and behind her she heard Hughes asking Danny if he'd like to meet the sweet girl his wife knew. 5. Jay Fawn was the first to figure out her secret. Both of them, actually, and the one that wasn't really a secret, once she got to Xing. Jay was the apprentice to the apothecary down the street from Maria's new house, and she was usually the one to bring over the herbs and poultices that Havoc ordered. She was pretty, the prettiest girl Maria had ever seen, and she made Maria wish more than anything that she could speak Xingyi's. Fortunately for her, Jay spoke Emestrician. She said her family protected the Emperor's family, said her grandfather and sister had gone to Emestris with one of the young princes, and that she had helped her sister study the language before they left. "You seem very sad," Jay said to her one day. "Did you leave behind a lover and Emestris?" "Only friends," Maria smiled sadly. "Only" was such a deceptive word. "And a job I loved very much." "You liked being a soldier?" When Maria looked at her in surprise, Jay only smiled. "You still carry yourself like a soldier. Strong. Sure." "Oh. Thank you." Maria looked down at her hands, hoping she wasn't blushing. How very unsoldier-like. "And yes, I did love it. Not all of it, but I liked helping people, keeping them safe." "And now your people are keeping you safe. I see." Jay sat down at the bench beside her. "Did they send you away because of your heart, who you love? I heard your country is sometimes not as friendly as it would like to believe." "No." Maria nearly strangled on the word. "They sent me away because I was being blamed for ki—" Her throat closed up, and she tried again. "For a murder that I didn't commit." Jay didn't press her further, and Maria thought of Hughes, choking back tears as she often did. She sincerely hoped Hughes had known that his murderer wasn't her, no matter how much the bastard might have been able to look like her. She hoped he'd known that she would never... "I'm glad you're safe." Jay interrupted her thoughts and gave her a gentle smile, resting her hand lightly over Maria's. "And I'm glad you're here." She thought of Hughes, always trying to set her up with one woman or another, and returned Jay's smile. She thought of her parents and friends back home in Emestris, thought of Jay's sister and grandfather there too, and thought of how nice it would be to go back and take Jay with her. She could meet Jay's family, and Jay could meet hers. Maria turned her hand over and let Jay's fingers mesh with hers. "Thank you. So am I." This has been Love is Love, written by M. Jules and read by Chestnut Philly. If you'd like to leave a comment for the author, please visit fma-ladyfest.livejournal.com/6678.html. Thank you for listening.